I'd like us to do a little Bible study that would I want us to discuss, to talk on something that on something that goes along with this work of grace. And this thing that which is such that if it does not go along with this gift of grace, there'll be problems. Jesus gave many parables. There are some parables that he didn't explain. Among one of those is the parable of the Good Samaritan. We're going to still read it. And we're going to try to find out what means what in this parable. And it will give us an introduction on the topic that I'd like us to discuss. Luke chapter 10. From verse 25. Luke chapter 10 from verse 25. Luke chapter 10 from verse 25. Luke chapter 10 from verse 25 to 35. Can someone read for us, please? With a good voice. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you get it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied, "live, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And in fact, he said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side, but a Samaritan and a traveler came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and water. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said. 'When I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.'"
Amen.
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 Donc voilà une parabole.
Here is a parable
que Jésus raconte.
That Jesus gives.
Un homme descendait de Jérusalem à Jéricho.
A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho.
Que représente Jérusalem dans le texte?
What does Jerusalem stand for in this text?
Vous avez la parole.
Give us the answer.
Anna?
Salvation?
Let's take in the second answer. What does Jerusalem represent? La volonté de Dieu. La volonté de Dieu.
Yeah, in this parable, he's giving a parable. So, in the parable, a man was going from Jerusalem
to Jericho.
To Jericho. According to what, how the text is.
Because it's not...
Jerusalem represents La place où Dieu se trouve, normalement. Jerusalem, c'est souvent appelé la cité du grand roi. C'est la place
Jerusalem in the Bible is called the city of the great king. It's basically the place where God is. So I'm drawing from biblical history. What does Jericho represent for those who have read the Bible a bit?
So the walls came tumbling down. That's the first kind of evil kind of group of people that could be like destroyed and then came to promise them.
So it was a bad city, the city of sin, the city of darkness.
So we may pray Jerusalem.
So we could say that Jerusalem is like the kingdom of God. And Jericho, it's like the kingdom of the enemy, the kingdom of darkness. And Jerusalem is the kingdom of light. And strangely, there is somebody who's going down from the kingdom of God to the kingdom of darkness. What does this represent? What does this man represent in this story? Does everybody know what a backslider is? It's like religious terms. What Anna is saying is correct. It's exact. But we can say that this man represents all sinners on their way down to darkness, to the going further and further into the kingdom of darkness. Those who once knew the truth but went back to their old ways are going down on the way to Jericho. Those who never knew the truth are making their way towards Jericho. But on the way, on this man's journey, something happens. I don't know what he was going to look for in Jericho. But certainly he was seduced. There was something that was attracting him there. And he was counting on it. He was certain to get it. But he did not know that the road was dangerous, was bad. He did not know that it was a perilous journey. And soon he realized it. A band of criminals stopped him. And everything that he was going to look for in Jericho, all that seduction, went up in flames and smokes. And they destroyed his life. They beat him badly. They beat him and they left him half dead. What does this represent? These robbers, these criminals. So the question is, who are these criminals? Who are these bandits, these robbers, and on their way to Jericho? Who are hidden on the way? You don't see them at the beginning of the journey. But soon when they circle around you, they close in on you. You find yourself ambushed by them. You discover reality. What does this represent? That's correct. Sin. Sin. It destroys you. Sin is there to destroy the lives of people. At the beginning, you don't see it. And you keep on going after your seduction. You go on your way to Jericho. And you are really certain that you'll get what you're looking for. You're really convinced, and you're really convinced that the road is good. And you don't realize that it's dangerous until you have the arm on your neck. And you begin to realize, well, I was mistaken. This road is bad. But it's as if it's too late. Sin. And the spirits that control sin, those beings that are behind sins, demons, with demonic thoughts, with demonic seductions, this is what these robbers represent, who are there to destroy the life of this person, to destroy him completely. They allowed him to keep on going on his seduction down to Jericho. But there was an angle on that road where they'll catch him and destroy him. And indeed, they got him. They destroyed his life. And they threw him to the ground, half dead. Maybe they were still beating him. And a priest, the Bible says, was going down that road. And he saw the man being aggressed. And he took another road. What does the priest represent? And a Levite was also going down that same road. And he saw what was going on. He had no solution. He went over the other way. He took another road. A priest was going through there. He saw what was going on, what was happening to the man. And he sneaked the other way. What do this priest and this Levite represent?
Someone who thinks they're holy or Christian or any religion, but
just keep to the last word.
But they don't really, they don't have the doctrine.
Okay.
Religion.
Yeah. This priest and this Levite represent religion. Because this parable has to do with biblical history. If you understand the story in the Bible, you understand this. The priest was the leader of the religion.
déjà pris dans les bras de l'ennemi.
So he sees this man already cut in the hands of the enemy. And he has no solution. He prefers to disappear and go away. And go and do hold his mass. He has no solution for this man. The Levite. They are the people who know something about God and that even teach things about God. But here is somebody who is in danger and he has no solution. It's better for him to disappear. Religion has no solution for a man in danger. Religion has no solution for a man who is trapped in his sin. Religion prefers to disappear and go on its things because it will waste his time because it has no solution. That's why this Levite went on his way to go teach people the law or something. So, dans ce cas, la religion n'est pas une bonne chose.
Oui, nous sommes en train de montrer qu'il y a des choses devant lesquelles la religion est impuissante.
Exactly, we're trying to show that there are certain things towards which religion is totally powerless. Religion does a lot of good social work. But when it comes to the salvation of a man in danger on his way down to Jericho, gripped and in the hands of the enemy, religion has no more solution, runs out of solutions. And so, in this, no, you say that religion does a lot of good social works. But when it comes to the salvation of people who is going to hell, who is already caught in the hands of the enemy, who is already caught by sin and by Satan, strangely, religion on which it could rely sees his condition but has no solution. The Levite, exactly.
We are coming to
the
parable. La parable.
You are complete. Okay. That's where we're going to.
Alors dans cette situation où dans cette situation.
So in this condition, in this situation, a Samaritan shows up. A Samaritan shows up with his horse or his donkey. And he chooses not to disappear, not to take another road. He heads towards the wounded man. He's going where they're beating the man. He goes towards the man who's being assaulted. I think that it's probably because of him that maybe these robbers ran away. Because if people are assaulting someone, and some are fleeing, and you go towards them, because if people are assaulting someone and they see everybody else coming and running away from the scene, but then one person shows up who's heading towards them, they know that it might be an important person. That those assaulters or those robbers ought to be careful. Because either this man who's going towards it is stupid or is someone that they ought to be afraid of. So they abandoned the guy. Almost dead. And the aggressors fled away. And it was this Samaritan who had mercy on him.
You
But this guy didn't even tell him. He didn't go there and tell him, hey, why did you even leave Jerusalem? And what were you trying to do? What were you thinking going down to Jericho? All he knew that is if you leave this guy down here, he's going to die. He cannot save himself. He is half dead. And that's what he deserves. He was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. To do what we don't know, but he must have had some ideas going on in his mind. So this Samaritan got down from his donkey. And lifted and carried this man half dead and put him on his own donkey. And he drew the donkey walking on foot himself. Who is the Samaritan? The Samaritan is Jesus. And let's say something. She was there when we preached about this. So what does the Samaritan represent in this biblical, in the story? Oh, the Samaritan represented people who were seen as a false religious person, as an illegitimate religious person. And you know that the Judaics did not consider Jesus to be a legitimate. He resembled someone who was false to them. But it was that Samaritan. It was this Samaritan that the Levite considered as a false, as an illegitimate. That the high priest regarded as a bad religious person. He was the one who had mercy on that man. Who dared go to him. Who sought to bring him a solution. He was the only one who put his own life in danger to help this guy. Because the person who helps someone in this case puts his own life in danger. He went toward these aggressors, these robbers, to snatch this man from their hands at the risk of his own life. And he got down from his own donkey to put this man on it, to put this sinner on it, and try to get him out of danger. And get him out of danger. And get him out of danger.
There was a priest. Le sacrificateur, c'est le religieux.
So
c'est le dirigeant des messes.
So the priest is the one who leads the mass. Is the religious person. Is the chief, is the leader of the religion. The Levite was the one who studied the law and taught it to people. Whereas the priest was the one who was overseeing the sacrifices and.
Donc, dans un sens, on a affaire à ceux qui présentent la religion et à ceux qui présentent la loi qu'on doit obéir, ceux qui dirigent la religion et ceux qui sont enseignants de la loi.
So, what really it represents is, one represents those who are the leaders of the religion and the other represent those who go before the people and bring them the law and the law and the law and the law. And teaches them to know the law. But when they are done teaching them the law, if they are on their way to hell, you have no solution.
Donc, Jésus, c'est ce bon Samaritain.
So Jesus is this good Samaritan.
Il n'est pas regardé comme un très grand religieux ou un, c'est un mauvais religieux, mais c'est lui qui a la solution à la vie de cet homme en danger.
He's the one who's regarded as the illegitimate, the bad religious person. But he is the one who has the solution for the man in danger. Only he was able to get this man out of danger and to get him out of there. The man was half dead. And he got out of that bad place. But the story could have ended there. And if we ended there, there's a great mistake that we make. What happens?
Donc, il s'en approcha, eut profondément pitié de lui.
So he went to him and...
Quand il le vit, il eut profondément pitié de lui. Il s'en approcha encore plus, versa de l'huile et du vin sur ses blessures et le recouvrit de pansements. Puis il le plaça sur sa propre bête.
Okay. And when he, the Samaritan, saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him.
Le lendemain, il sortit deux pièces d'argent, les donna à l'hôtelier et lui dit, prends soin de cet homme. Lorsque je repasserai par ici, je te payerai moi-même ce que tu auras dépensé.
The next day, he took out two silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.
Cet hôtel où Jésus a amené cet homme, il l'a laissé. Cet hôtelier à qui il l'a laissé, et le lendemain matin a donné encore de l'argent pour qu'on reste prendre soin de lui, et a précisé, quand je reviendrai encore, si tu as dépensé autre chose, je te le paye encore, s'il te plaît, prends soin de lui.
So,
c'est quoi cet hôtelier?
So this inn where the man took, where the Samaritan took this wounded man to keep him there, and where... To be cared for, and where the next day it says he paid money so that the man will be taken care of, and insisted that when I return, if you've spent anything extra, I will pay you back. This inn, what is it that, what does it represent? And the innkeeper is who? Who's the innkeeper?
Jesus.
Jesus is already represented. So the story starts to be complete. We can see the full picture. Jesus brings this man, the Lord brings this man, half dead, but he's not dead yet. He's rescued this man's life. I don't know if this man was out of the coma already. But one thing was true, he was out of danger. The Lord brought him somewhere and handed him over to some people, entrusted him to some people, to whom he gave some means to care for the man. And he begged the people, keep taking care of him. And if there is, and if you spend and anything else beyond because of this burden that I've brought to you, provided that you save this man's life, when I will come back, I will pay it back to you. But don't neglect him. Don't neglect him. Save his life. He costed me everything. I took all the risk to rescue him. I risked everything to successfully rescue him. So I succeeded. I do not want to neglect him. I want to hand to entrust him to trustworthy hands. And I give means for it. And if it's not enough, do everything that you can do. And when I will come back by here, I will repay. That's the church. And the pastor is the leader of this church. He's the innkeeper. And after having so spoken, the Samaritan went on to his way. The Lord Jesus went to heaven. After having accomplished the work of redeeming people, the work of redemption, he went to heaven. And having left sinners in this inn, in the church, not just in a random hotel, in a random room in a hotel, but he handed them to an innkeeper to whom he gave means and to whom he will come back to ask accounts in order to pay back to that person if he spent anything extra. So we land here in the church. The role of the church. The place of the church. The church was not there where everything took place. The church was not there where this man's life was rescued. The salvation was a deal between Jesus and that man alone on the road. Very far away. I received Jesus Christ, it was in my room. I knelt down. I made my prayer. And I believed in what I had asked of him. And he saved me. So now I was like this man, half dead. But at least rescued from the hands of the criminals or the robbers. But one important thing had yet to be settled. The question is, in which inn, in which kind of hotel or inn did the Lord put this man whom he had rescued? In the hands of what kind of innkeeper? To which innkeeper? If this question is not clearly resolved, if that question is not settled, this person who had been rescued could now die due to lack of care.
Amen.
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 Alors, je voulais introduire ce soir le rôle et l'importance de l'église.
So I want to introduce today the role and the importance of the church. There are many churches around us. Many churches in the world. But what do they do? What are they doing? Are they this inn where the Lord brings people rescued, saved from the hands of robbers, to entrust them to a pastor who's there, and he tells him, I give you the means. Take care of this person. This man has costed me everything. I took all the risk to save him. This person must live his Christian life. They must succeed. They must not go back to that road. Save their lives. I give you the means. I give you the talents. I give you the spiritual gifts that you need. I give you everything that you need. And if what I gave you is not enough, do everything that you can do, but save his life. And when I come back, I am not poor. I will pay you back. If the Lord took all this care, it shows that after the Lord has given you the grace to be saved, to save you from the clutches of sin, he must and does take care of making sure that he wants to make sure that you are taken care of in the right place, in the right inn, where you will not be neglected, where they ought to take care of you, where they ought to treat your wounds, because he knows that otherwise you'll die. Salvation is often called a new birth. A baby, when the delivery is over, it's very beautiful. But I've been told that a newborn baby who's just been born are very dirty. There are all sorts of things in its nostrils and its mouth, and there's his umbilical cord that needs to be cut, and they cry all over the place, and he wants to put his finger in its mouth and its nostrils and all sorts of places. But yet it's a child, and he's precious. They ought to hand him over to a mother. How this life came about, how this baby came about, that's God's issue. But once the person has been born, there must be a human being, well chosen, irresponsible person who will not neglect this baby, who will take care of it. A person who understands what is it. A person who understands the price of a human being. You need that kind of person who understands the value of a human being to take care of them. Till this child grows up and becomes adult and recovers normal life, as in the case of this wounded man. It's the same figure. The person who has received the grace to be saved must be entrusted to a good church and in the hands of a pastor who will give account to God for this sheep who costed the Lord Jesus everything and for whom Jesus took all the risk. Let me tell you, because I will soon conclude. I am a pastor, but I am ashamed of what happens. The churches have lost a vision of what the church ought to be. It has become a place where people just come to sing. And a man comes up and speaks to people that he doesn't know. And after that, the people go back to their homes. And the next Sunday, they come back. And soon they are taken over, overwhelmed by the problems in their lives. I imagine, I picture a man half dead and they entrust him to such a place. He'll die. He'll die. And the work that Jesus did for that person would have been in vain. He'll die. He'll die. He lacked care. They brought him to a place that wasn't the appropriate place. Maybe they went to give him to such a person who was not the right person. The real hard work was done on the road. It was the rescue. But yet the man died due to lack of care. The church ought to be a place where they take people who have given their life to the Lord. And they understand that there are people half dead. But their lives have at least been rescued. In fact, the day that a person gives their life to Christ, they are a half dead person. Yesterday he was still committing his fornication. He is homosexuality. He is coming from far. There are many things, still many things in him. He was maybe still stealing. And it might still be that he still has stolen things in his house. He has done the prayer and Jesus has accepted him. So the Lord has rescued him from the clutches of the enemy. He's truly born into God's kingdom. But there are several things to be dealt with. He has stolen things in his house. He has drugs that he left in his house. And he has his a boyfriend that he was sleeping with that they just called maybe a few minutes before they prayed the prayer. And he had plans to go to this party and this other party. And there's some drug left over in the house. We don't know what. If they don't help this new believer, if they do not hold him by the hand to help him to come out, to take these things out of his life one after the other, in a conscientious and serious way, holding him by the hand, if this work is not done, we will lose that young convert. That person will be lost. That person that has been saved will be lost, not because they were not saved, but because they did not take care of them. They abandoned this child. A child who's born and be there in good health, if a mother does not take care of that child as needed, as necessary, he will die. Not because he's not born, not because he was not a normal child, but he could not take care of himself by himself alone. He's a child. If you take that as an analogy for being born again, it's a child. If we take the analogy of this man who is half dead, he lost conscience. He cannot do anything for himself. But he's breathing. He is out of danger. They must treat him. They must care for him. There are many things in the life of a person who has decided to follow the Lord. So that you continue in this life with the Lord, they must join the right fellowship. And they must put their hand in the hand of the great innkeeper
qui va entrer dans sa vie,
who will come into their lives and help them to come out of the clutches, to come out of the traps, and to get rid of the other things that could bring back a lot of temptation in their lives if it's not well treated. And we have lost so many people. If you go back to the scriptures, when the Ephesians believed, it was good, they had believed. But several of them practiced magic arts. And they had many magic books in their houses. They believed, praise the Lord. But they have many magic books at home. If you just leave them there and say, okay, they themselves will know what to do. No, many will go back. And they'll go back into it. Not because they were not truly saved. They're half dead. It takes healing until they can distinguish. So I think what the Apostle Paul did, he told them, bring all those magic books and bring them. And they brought them and they gathered them. And he must have prayed for them. And he burned them. And to free them from these things. And it's as if you were washing a baby and he begins to become clean. And then you must feed them. You must feed them. And you must feed them. That's the role of the church. That's the duty of the church. But it's unfortunately not what the churches are doing. Could this be why some people gave their lives to Christ and were saved but then went back to their old lives? Yes. Who takes care of you? They take care of you where? Who is it? And how? And these people will give account of what you became, of what you've become. And you pour it. You might be lost. It'll be your perdition. They will give account, but you'll be the one who lost everything. You'll have been the big loser. My dear beloved, we do not go to a church just to go to a church.
No. On va à une église,
we go to a church
pour trouver,
to find
ce milieu,
that setting
où on peut prendre soin du bébé
where,
que je suis,
where they can take care of the baby that I am,
du demi-mort que je suis, mais qui est sauvé,
from the half-dead person that I am,
et m'aider à,
and help me
retrouver la vie,
to get back into life
la vie,
and to recover life
que je devienne solide,
till I become solid.
Adulte.
Adult and able to help others, another whom the Lord has just drawn out of danger, taken out of, rescued from danger. So at this point we can understand Matthew chapter 28. The end of Matthew 28. From verse 16 to verse 20, can someone read for us?
Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Yes.
Yes.
Allez.
Go.
Allez récupérer ces gens pour qui je suis mort.
Go and rescue these people and gather these people for whom I died. And make disciples of them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I taught you. It speaks about feeding his children and taking care of them. So bring them to understand what I did. And if they understand what I did for them and are willing to be rescued from danger, baptize them. The phenomenon of baptizing them.
C'est un peu comme signer son acte d'appartenance officiel à Jésus.
It's like signing their official statement of belonging to Jesus.
Baptisez-le.
Baptize them.
Qu'il soit clair.
So that it will be clear.
Même s'il avait cru dans sa chambre, qu'il soit clair.
Even if he had believed and given his life to the Lord in his bedroom.
Qu'il soit clair. Au moins devant un témoin.
So that it will be clear at least before one witness.
Qui pourrait être le baptiseur.
Who could be the person baptizing them.
Qui atteste que maintenant je sais que tu appartiens au
Seigneur. Who can say, "I'm a witness, I know that from now on you belong to the Lord."
Officiel commence par deux personnes. Ça pourrait avoir été privé entre toi.
Because official becomes with at least two people. When you believe that was a private matter between you and God, it might have happened in your room. But now it must become official. And it's officially signed through baptism. And that's not all. Now this child has become officially a child of God. They must teach him very personally to obey, to understand everything that the Lord prescribed, taught. In leaving certain things, they must learn to do certain things and learn not to do certain other things. Until they become someone who can stand on their own two spiritual feet.
Et aussi,
and also,
ça permet que cette personne puisse à son tour être capable d'aider un autre.
And it also allows that this person in his own turn becomes able to help somebody else become a disciple.
C'est ça que le Seigneur disait.
That's what the Lord was saying.
C'est ça que l'église doit être.
That's what the church ought to be.
Si une église n'est pas ça,
if a church is not this,
n'est pas en train de faire des disciples,
if a church is not making disciples,
si l'église n'est pas en train de prendre soin
if
des gens,
a church is not taking care of people,
les aidant vraiment à sortir,
really helping them to come out of difficulties,
de marcher comme le Seigneur veut,
to walk as
de façon personnelle,
the Lord wants them to walk in a very personal way,
alors l'église est en train de ne pas faire
then the church is not doing what they must be doing. Doing. You are not to be there. Well, no matter how big it is.
C'est peut-être mieux que tu ailles là où il y a 10 personnes, 15, 20 ou 5.
It's better for you to go where there is 20. It might be even better for you to go to where there's 20, 15, 10, and maybe even 5 people.
Où tu recevras ce soin très personnel.
And where you will receive this very personal care.
Where the, rendra compte à Dieu, à celui qui te l'a donné.
And where the innkeeper will take care of you and will give account for your life to the one who entrusted you to him.
Ça peut vraiment être mieux.
It might really be better to go to that place.
Et à la satisfaction du Seigneur. C'est mieux d'aller et de recevoir ce soin-là parce que c'est ça que le Seigneur veut.
It's better for you to go there and receive that care because that's what the Lord wants.
Que d'aller te perdre quelque part et mourir spirituellement.
Than to go and get lost somewhere and in the middle of some place and be dead spiritually. A place where there is 1,000 people or 100 people, or even a place where there is 20 people, but they don't know how to take care of the people.
C'est ça la réalité.
That's the reality.
Je prêche aujourd'hui l'évangile parce que on a pris soin de moi.
I am preaching the gospel to you today because some people had taken care of me.
De façon
personnelle. I was cared for in a very personal way.
Dans les lendemains du moment où j'ai reçu le Seigneur dans mon.
In the days after my receiving Jesus in my life, I was cared for. There was someone who sat me down with love. He came into my life. I allowed him to come into my life. And he made me understand, Calvin, this is your life and this is how it ought to be. If this is where you have a lot of temptation, then you should avoid doing this and this. Begin to do this. Don't do this anymore. Don't go to this place anymore. But that's not enough. Let's pray together, he told me. And pray like this. And handle your things this way. And I will continue praying for you. And he heard from me constantly. And he came back constantly to visit me. And we met together very often, constantly. And progressively got me out of my difficulties. And helped me to start walking as a little child. Sometimes I walk and I fell. And he told me, yeah, I fell there too one time. But don't walk there anymore. It's very slippery over there. It's over. It's like this. It's brother Zali Eve who began that work for me. And after him, someone else took over.
Et j'ai pu survivre à cette époque où les petits enfants meurent.
And I was therefore able to survive this period where a newborn baby, a newborn child can die.
Et j'ai pu survivre à cette période où un homme convalescent sorti du danger peut mourir par manque de soins.
And I was able to survive this period where a man who is recovering from could easily have died.
Peut-être c'est ton besoin.
Maybe it's your need.
Alors fais attention à cela.
So be careful about it.
Et j'ai aimé le fait qu'on ait partagé le matin.
I like the fact that we shared this morning.
Et c'est comme ça que je fais. Excusez-moi, j'amène les gens dans mes réunions à parler.
And this is how I.
En petit groupe pour que les gens parlent.
And you have to excuse me for this, but this is how I do things. I encourage people to come into the meetings and talk.
Et c'est pas tout. Il faut parfois que des gens se trouvent l'un vis-à-vis de l'autre et parlent.
And this is, and even this is not enough. There are times when people need to sit down one on one and talk.
Parce que les maladies spirituelles se trouvent dans la vie privée.
Because the spiritual diseases are found in the private lives of people. The worst spiritual diseases are in the private lives of people. And that's what this innkeeper to whom the Lord has entrusted this person ought to do. He ought to go into that private life of the person. To ensure that they survive.
Si un aîné spirituel n'est pas entré dans ta vie pour t'aider,
if a spiritually older person than you has not come into your life to help you,
et tu n'es pas en train de travailler avec lui,
and you're not working with him,
et il n'est pas en train de te suivre de près,
and he is not following you closely,
c'est possible, effectivement, que tu puisses mourir
spirituellement. It's in fact possible that you will die spiritually.
Et que tu puisses dire plus tard.
And that you may say later on, I was saved.
Mais c'est une affaire du passé.
But it's something of the past.
Je reconnais que
that the disease ate me up again.
Le problème pourrait être là.
The problem could be there.
Où vas-tu à l'église?
Where do you go to church?
Qui prend soin de toi?
Who takes care of you?
Quelle est cette personne? À qui est-ce que le Seigneur t'a confié?
To whom has the Lord entrusted you?
Ça doit être, il faut que tu répondes à ces questions.
You ought to answer these
et que
questions.
Tu t'accroches à cette personne.
And you must cling to that person.
Et que tu t'accroches à ce milieu-là.
And that you will cling to that setting,
même si c'est une petite
to that environment.
Église.
Even if it's a small church.
Même si c'est un seul être homme.
Even if it's one man.
Cette personne doit prendre soin de toi.
That person must take care of you.
Et rendre compte au Seigneur.
And give account to the Lord.
Pour ton bien.
For your good.
Et il faut qu'il rende compte au Seigneur.
And he must be,
and
he must give account to God because you costed the Lord everything.
Et le Seigneur n'a pas l'intention de te négliger comme ça.
And God is not planning on abandoning and neglecting you. And he does not want you to be neglected in that kind of way. Or else Jesus could have taken that man just at the entrance to the inn and say, hey, I found this man on the road here. Take him. I already rescued him from death. You guys do something and went on his way.
No,
he spent a night there with him. And the morning he called the innkeeper. Take care of him. I'm going.
Il a retiré quelque chose de sa poche.
He withdrew something. He took something out of his pocket.
Il représente les dons et les talents appropriés que le Seigneur donne à des pasteurs qui comprennent quel est leur travail.
That money out of his pocket represents talents and gifts that the Lord gives to pastors who understand his work and who understand what they ought to do.
Il dit, voilà mon enfant.
And he tells them, here is my child.
Voilà mon malade.
Here's my patient. I have saved them.
Mais il n'est pas encore totalement guéri.
But he's not fully healed. Take care of them. Until they're fully healed. And if you spend anything else extra, I will give it to you on my way back. But do not neglect them. He spoke to a human being. And I think that this person must have taken care of that sick people. And when the Lord Jesus comes back, I believe that man will have his reward and his crown for the work he did for that person. That pastor, that innkeeper. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus never explained that particular parable. I've exhausted my time. If you have a question, one question, I'll answer it. If not, we'll just pray and go to bed.
Questions, préoccupations.
Questions, concerns.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. We're going to pray.
Je veux que tu dises au Seigneur, Seigneur, montre-moi ce pasteur, cet hôtel dans lequel tu veux que je sois, et ce pasteur, cette personne à qui tu me confies.
I want you to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, show me who is this pastor, or this inn, this place, and this, or this person, he might not bear the title of a pastor, forget that. I'm the one giving the title. But who's that person to whom the Lord, who's that person that the Lord put on your way, on your path, and the Lord entrusted you to that person? This person who's worried about you, cares about you, who's worried, concerned about your spiritual future. Who's praying for you and who wants you to be spiritually healthy. And it says if he feels that he'll have to give account to God for that. It's that person. Go to that person. Follow that person. Go to those people. Follow those people. It's to them that the Lord has given you.
pour qu'il fasse ce travail.
So that he'll do that work.
Le travail de l'hôtellerie, le travail de l'hôtellerie.
The work of innkeeping.
Afin que l'œuvre qu'il a déjà faite soit bien poursuivie.
So that the work that Jesus did will be rightly followed up.
Que la grâce qu'il t'a donnée soit bien encadrée et réussisse à te conduire jusqu'au bout.
So that the grace that he gave you will be well mentored and brought to all the way to its completion.
Demande-le au Seigneur.
So ask this to the Lord. And do not make it complicated. And he will show it to you by the Holy Spirit. And I plead with you to obey him. Let's pray together. Father, we pray, O God, we pray, O Lord, for each one of us, O Lord. Show us, O Lord, show us, O Lord, whom you have sent us. Show us, O Lord. Lord, Father, show us, open our eyes. To see, Lord, whom you've sent us to, where we'll receive the best spiritual care. Those people that you expect, O Lord, to give account for us. Father, I thank you for having shown me, O Lord. And I thank you, Father, for the blessing that it's been to me. Father, I pray, O Lord, that I will cooperate more and more, O God, with these precious people whom you've put in my life, O Lord, and who have been a blessing over the years. And have contributed to making me the person I've become. Do this for all of us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I thank you for the grace that I received from you in 92, O God. I thank you because no one else could do it. But Lord, I also want to bless you today for the people that you put on my way.
Amen.
And who have been instrumental, O God, to help me continue to make sure that the work that you started in me continue normally. To make sure that the devil will not steal the grace that you gave me. I want to thank you, God, for Angopaki. And I want to thank you for Evan Zali. I want to thank you, God, for Bishop Zima. I want to thank you, God, for Bishop Ngankwe. And I want to thank you for Brother Zach. These people who are on my way and who have taken care, who have taken care, and who are still taking care. Watching over me, praying for me, concerning me, making sure that I'm walking, that I'm not going astray, O God. Making sure that the devil is not disturbing, destroying me, O God. Making sure that the devil is not trying to come back in my life. Lord, I thank you because you have put people on my way. And your very will is to put people, good people, on the way of each of your child that you have saved. So that these human beings will take good care of the person. These human beings that you have saved before and who have experience and who have touched, to whom you have given talent, oh God, will take care of the younger ones, the new ones who have decided to receive you and who are still children so that they should be cared of. I thank you, oh God, for my very experience, for the people you put on my way. And I pray that for everybody here, you will show to the person, oh God, you will show to each one of us here the people that you have put on their way. And that you will give them hearts to obey and to go to the people and to work with the people and to open up to those people and to allow those people to get into their lives and help them to get out of what may constitute great traps for the devil to take them back in the old life, to steal their salvation and their grace. Lord, I pray that you open the eyes of each one here on what we have done, on what we have said tonight. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
But I also want to thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you've spoken to us. Lord, it's the reminder of the role of the church. This in-keeping work, Lord, that your church is supposed to be doing and which you expect us to do. Father, I thank you, Lord, that by your grace you send people on my way, O Lord, who have taken care of me. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Calvin in North Carolina. I thank you for Sister Susan, for Pastor Ray Greenlee and Jan Greenlee. And all these people, Lord, who have watched over me. I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Joe, who has prayed for me and who cares. And all these people, Lord, whose prayers and fasts and encouragements have built me up over the years, and without which I would not have continued walking with you, or might have died spiritually, or might not have gone as far as I have. But I thank you for them. For that, I pray that you give each one of us, O Lord, that ability to be open to receive that help that we need. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I want to thank you for my mother who prayed for me. Lord, when I first came to Christ, Lord, she prayed for me. Lord, I want to thank you for causing my mother to be saved and stirring her heart to pray for me this Sunday. Lord, I want to thank you for doing that. Oh God, Lord, will you stir to also pray for me. Lord, and that you gave her a love for me. Lord, so that she encouraged me to read the Bible. Lord, to read your word and to continue walking with you, oh God. Lord, I want to thank you for my father, who has been an encouragement to me. Lord, who has told me to get rid of worldly influences. Who has challenged me and commanded me to leave worldly friendships. To get rid of worldly music. And to create my life, to foster my life godly influences and not worldly influences. Lord, thank you for my father. Father, thank you for Freddie, who when I met him, oh God, encouraged me to pray. Oh God, who challenged me to pray, to come and give my life over to prayer and to walk deeper with God. Lord, I want to thank you for the ministry for Brother Zach and all the ministers in North Carolina and in Canada and from Cameroon. Lord, I want to thank you for their ministry that has sustained me, that has encouraged me, and give me strength to move on. Father, I want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Tomorrow we will have a last session.
We're all right.
Tomorrow we will have a last session on demain on aura une dernière session.
Tomorrow we'll have a last session and and we will maybe speak about more of the details of what goes on in this inn. And this innkeeping, this taking care of people, what's involved in it? What does it entail? Reading the Bible and praying and so on.
Éviter la tentation.
Avoiding temptation. Baptism. Small things.
La méditation.
Meditating. We'll speak of these small details tomorrow. And Freddie knows them well. So if we do not finish it, he'll certainly finish it with you guys.